Welcome to The Secret Truth. Greg Ford is with us for a short interview. Welcome to our program, Greg Ford.
Well, thank you, George, as always. You know, and I'm glad to be here because we've got some big things happening. Okay. And I'm sure your listeners want to know about them. Okay. What is this, ISIS? Or we're possibly going to have a Fukushima on our hands.
Yeah,
do you want to hear about first?
Tell me about the Fukushima. That's right current right now.
Okay.
Tell me about that.
All right. Okay. I just received a call, okay, from probably America's foremost expert on the subject matter. He's a quality assurance nuclear engineer who has called it right several times and is actually consulting right now on Fukushima. But he is deeply and gravely concerned, okay, about South Carolina. All right. The way I understand it, and as he has related to me, is first of all, the government is keeping it quiet. Gee, imagine our government not informing the public about a catastrophe, you know, like Fukushima. All right.
Okay.
Every time I step, at my ocean home, okay, on the Pacific Ocean, every time I step off, you know, out on my deck overlooking the ocean just a few yards away, I can see something different. Okay. The marine life has completely changed. And there are no more starfish. There are no more sea urchins because of the radiation. All right. You haven't heard a peep out of our government concerning the radiation that's on our coast now.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
So South Carolina, okay, the way I understand it is that years ago, okay, the nuclear industry, when they decided to, you know, locate those sites there in South Carolina, like they do everywhere else, and, you know, no different anywhere else, is they get the cheapest land they can find, and they put these reactors on such things as nuclear faults and flood zones. All right, because they get the land cheaply.
Okay.
Okay. And then they turn right around, and they give the Army Corps of Engineers, who have to do the initial groundwork, you know, actually lay the base work for these nuclear reactors. They give them faulty information, and that's exactly what they have in South Carolina, is faulty information. You know, the 1,000-year storm. Well, that's coming every year now. All right. And by the way, I just gave the same information I'm giving you, your listeners, to one of the directors of Western Homeland Security, all right, who's just getting back from all the fires, okay, we have out here.
Right.
And he has immediately put this word out, okay, is that, yes, the information was faulty. Those reactors are in danger, all right. Those reactors are in danger of being flooded, okay. If water rises a few more inches, you know, anyone, especially I believe there's a reactor called the Coney reactor.
Okay.
And if water rises any more, and they have a catastrophic generator failure. Right now, I guess it's just the generators, the standalone generators that are keeping the water away from those reactors. That's it. Those things will go. We will have a Fukushima reactor disaster. Okay.
Okay.
And that's what, and the government knows this. All right. But they're not warning anybody. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Gee, imagine that. Okay. So that is what is happening, is that those things were poorly sighted. The 1,000-year storm is happening as we speak. And there is a grave critical danger that we could have Fukushima on our doorstep right now.
Okay.
Yeah. And that information is only a few hours old.
Okay.
The way I understand
okay.
it. And it's coming from one of the foremost experts of what's called quality assurance.
Is this the result of the storm coming through the hurricane and then dropping an intense level of rain in that area in South Carolina, Charleston and all that, right?
That's correct. That's what I understand it.
So it hasn't subsided yet. It's still flooding. Yeah, I got you.
Oh, yes, right. And all those pictures we're seeing of people's homes, you know, being flooded.
Yeah,
well,
right.
Well, you know, wiped out and so forth. Well, guess what? How many pictures of those you see up where the water's approaching those nuclear reactors.
Right.
You don't see
you.
Any. Okay.
Yeah,
you don't
right.
see any. Well, yes, it is. Yeah. They just don't pick those things up and move them, you know, when it's inconvenient. Okay.
Sure.
Those things are in harm's way. And the government is not warning anybody.
Oh my
all right?
gosh.
You've got to get
okay.
the word out.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And like I say, my authority is unchallenged, you know, in this. All right. So.
Okay. 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 That's great. Great reporting, really. And we'll get on top of this. Now, how about ISIS over there? What's happening over there? The Russians are in there now.
Oh.
Dangerous. The Turks are threatening, you know, and they're NATO and they got a 5-mile, zone in there, a no fly zone they imposed that's in violation of international law. What's going to happen over there? What do you think? What do you see?
Boy, you know, I don't know. Anybody can call that one. Okay.
Oh, okay.
I have worked with the Russians. I worked with the Ukrainians.
Right.
Okay. Actually been in their country working with them.
Okay.
I worked with the Turks.
Okay.
And I also recruited Abubakar al-Baghdadi. Okay. When I
right.
was in Iraq.
Right.
All right.
right. Okay.
So I understand a little bit about all the players involved here.
Sure.
Okay. And now this isn't on the face of it, you know, nothing is going to be what it seems. Okay.
Right.
Now the Russians have a very interesting relationship. Okay. With the Iraqis. They created their intelligence network, and the most critical issue we have right now, and nobody wants to face it, nobody wants to hear about it, nobody wants to deal with it, is that ISIS, okay, has the most complete, most effective database system, intelligence database system in the Middle East, probably next to the Israeli system. Okay, the Israeli intelligence collection systems, all right? ISIS has that, all right, has control of it. They are using it. And the person who was in charge of it, okay, in Samarra, the city of Samarra, Iraq, is Abubakar al-Baghdadi. That's what puts him
yeah.
into the position he is in, okay?
I see.
By the way, I know him. If I slip up and call him Al-Agassi al-Baghdadi, that's his real name. Okay.
I see.
Right. You know, that's a moniker that he assumed, Abubakar al-Baghdadi. Okay. That's,
okay.
You know, father of Bakar. That's what that means, father of Bakar.
Okay.
Okay. No, you know, that's not the name I know him under. Okay. So.
Okay.
So I recruited him in Iraq, and he is the fellow that when he was brought to me by two Shia policemen, he is the fellow who said, oh, yes, we know where your soldier is. We know where your American soldier is, and we are showing her a very good time, all right? And he was talking about Jessica Lynch.
Okay.
And I believe I told your listeners, I said, well, it's one of the few times, you know, in my three-decade history of being in the intelligence field where I've lost my patience, instantly lost my patience. And I said, okay, fine, because everybody was desperately looking for Jessica Lynch.
Right.
And I said, you see these two policemen here? Okay. They understand what you're saying. They are going to make sure that you receive every single issue, every single bit of abuse that she receives. They're going to make sure that you receive exactly the same thing. Okay. If she's harmed in any way, you are going to get exactly the same issue. Okay.
Right.
You're going to get your issue from these two men right here.
Right.
And, you know, and George, the satisfaction, you know, that I had watching the blood drain out of his face was immense, okay?
Oh, my gosh,
But he started talking, and he wouldn't shut up. I was trying to write the information fast enough, and he just wouldn't shut up, okay? So,
right.
But I did get the information, and about 3 days later, unfortunately, it wasn't faster, but about 3 days later, they located her, and in a strange, bizarre way, you could say ISIS was helpful to us to locate Jessica.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yep. So that was my first introduction to the to the member, okay, the leading member in Samara. If you notice, they always talk about how he's from Samara. Okay. He was heading up the group called Mukhavarat. That's why he knows so much. That's why he has so much power. Okay. And that's why he's so ruthless. All right. He's been ruthless all his life. Now, there's a big surprise in there and all of this. I didn't know this at the time. But, and I didn't expect it at the time, okay, was this, is that it turns out that he was an Israeli operative, okay?
Okay.
He probably was a Mossad agent operating and in the position of running Mukhabarat, okay? So, in other words, when I recruited him, I made him a triple agent, okay? I had no idea. All right. So, in other words, he had access, okay, to his system, probably the most effective intelligence collection system this side of Israel, all right, and he was running one of the most efficient, brutal intelligence organizations in the Middle East, the Mukhabarat.
Okay.
And they made the mistake. You know, I told your listeners what happened to me, okay, when I filed criminal charges at Abu Ghraib. What happened to me?
Boy,
well,
yeah.
guess what our fumbling, stumbling, you know, intelligence corps did. Okay, besides renditioning me, they turned right around and renditioned Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. And if he wasn't tough and angry before, well, they put him into a camp where he was tortured, brutalized, and when he got out, he was and still is gunning for us. And he has that information that, as far as I can tell, Americans were never notified of, okay, except through my reports, never notified of, and they never took advantage of, okay, they never got their hands on that intelligence database, and ISIS has it now. They know exactly the composure and what's called the battlefield formation of the Americans. They understand all the Arab armies that they're facing, the type of equipment, the types of strength that they're going to be facing, and the weaknesses, all the weaknesses of every single group that they're going to be facing and are dealing with right now in the Middle East. All right?
Right.
They know it. They understand it. It isn't maybe they know it. They know it. All right?
Right.
None of the Sunni that I saw, that I dealt with, what I call stupid or angry or insane or maniacal, all right?
Okay.
They are analytical and they are straightforward. They had all that time with us in Iraq under a very bad situation of being abused and tortured in Abu Ghraib prison, Camp Nama, okay, places like this, okay, to analyze us and our behavior and our thinking. They know Americans. They understand Americans, and believe me, they have the equipment capability of tackling any effort the Americans send in after them. They will chew us to pieces. Chew us to pieces. All right. You think a few kids running around in sandals and AK-47s chewed us to pieces. You ain't seen nothing yet. We ain't seen nothing till we tangle with ISIS. All right.
Right.
So they have the funding, they have the financing. Everybody's saying, "Oh, we'll cut their funding out." good luck. You know, as far as them destroying all these rare antiquities. Well, funny thing is that a lot of these antiquities are showing up on the international market now because they're selling them. Why should they destroy something that gives them the kind of money that they can get for those antiquities?
I see. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I'd say right now they're probably making at least $1 million a day just in oil revenues, at least $1 million a day. You know, that's why they're the most best financed army, terrorist army on earth.
Yeah.
All right. And Prince Bandar of Saudi Arabia, is actually cutting a check. He is cutting a check, you know, every month to ISIS from Saudi Arabia. Okay, so there's a proxy Okay, they are bringing in, they have brought in a series of judges to administer Sharia law, okay, of the strictest Wahhabiist type there is out of Saudi Arabia. All the judges and the legal system that ISIS is setting up, okay, ISIS is setting up intentionally. Everywhere they conquer, they set up their own legal system. They are the Wahhabist Saudi Arabians, okay, that
right.
They're bringing in to do that, okay?
Okay, yeah.
So they're there to stay. They know it. They understand it. Their systems were built by the Russians. You know, their intelligence systems were built by the Russians. Their counterintelligence systems were built by the Russians. So they are experts in counterintelligence, intelligence collection, and intelligence analysis. They have state-of-the-art weapon systems. And this time last year, I was in Enid, Oklahoma, and I specifically warned a group of very arrogant, okay, very presumptuous Air Force officers that they probably will, ISIS would have, you know, state-of-the-art technical ground-to-air defense system, as in Stinger missiles.
Right.
Okay, Stinger missiles. You know, if they didn't have them at that moment when I was giving them the warning and the briefing, then they would have them within a few days. And sure enough, you know, there is a picture. You know, it's on you can see it on the internet of ISIS burning a pilot alive. Okay, who was flying an F-16? That was an American-made F-16. He was shot down using somebody was using a Stinger.
Oh my gosh.
That means, yes, that's how they got their hands on that poor pilot was, you know, well, first of all, they were already, you know, ISIS was extremely angry. He had been dropping napalm, from what I understand, on them.
Okay.
And they shot him down with a Stinger. And actually they shot three F-16s down in a group using Stingers. And that was the only pilot that survived. He ejected. And they got their hands on him, and so they filmed him being burned to death alive on the internet.
Oh my
gosh,
yeah.
Yeah. So we're dealing with a group that is absolutely ruthless, you're bloodthirsty, extremely smart, okay. We've never dealt with an enemy like this. They have Russian engineering in everything they do. And remember, that the ISIS, they have issues with the Kurds, okay? The Kurds, you know, up in Kurdistan, just to
right.
the north, okay? For the most part, ISIS has left them alone,
right.
okay? Trying to deal with the Peshmerga, you know, the Peshmerga is fairly tough, and that is the Kurdish militia, okay? They're tough, okay? And ISIS is nobody's fool, so they pretty much left them alone. But the thing is there is going to be no relief being offered by the Turks, because the Turks have been fighting, the Kurds for how many years now? What,
long
50
time,
years?
Yeah,
okay.
Long time, yeah.
An insurgency, right?
Yeah.
So as a result of all that, you know, we can expect, you know, the Turks to do virtually nothing, okay, to try to blunt the attacks of ISIS. So, and I believe that was not too long ago in northern Syria, we were able to see that happening with the Turks overlooking, I forget the name of that town, Kamani or something like that. Kobani, I think it was.
Yeah.
And, where the Turks just parked their tanks.
Yeah, they took no action. Yeah.
Right. They dug their tanks right in, and then they had a full field of fire within range of their weapons. And they allowed that entire, that town, I believe it was Kobani, okay. I might be wrong on that, but I believe it was Kobani, to sit there and suffer the full impact of an ISIS attack. And, you know, I believe it eventually went the ground down, you know, thanks to Allied airstrikes, it ground down into virtually one of those windless wars, windless stalemates. Okay,
right.
That America seems to be so fascinated with anymore are just windless wars. But anyway, that's what it ground down into. Okay. So that's the situation. I see it is ISIS is here to stay. They're tough. They're smart and they're not going anywhere. They've tasted victory already and they know how to get something done. And the way I understand it, recently there was a shipment of 400 Stinger missiles that have gone missing that were supposed to have been for the Syrian rebels, okay? And the way I'm being told is that you can ask Hillary Clinton what happened to those Stinger missiles. Okay, these disappeared under her watch as Secretary of State, and now those Stinger missiles are loose somewhere in that mess, in that Syrian Iraqi mess, and you can bet with the kind of grip that ISIS has on that area that they have those Stinger missiles. And how much longer is it before those Stinger missiles are used on American pilots and American aircraft? You know, we're making the mistake of thinking that we can bomb them into some sort of commission or submission.
Right.
Okay, forget it. It ain't going to happen. It just isn't going to happen. So ISIS is here to stay. Everybody better get used to it. All right? That's my take on it.
Well, how about the Russians in there now? And they've got fighters and stuff, too, and they're bombing. They say some ISIS targets and some Syrian rebel targets. Mm-hmm. So they're beginning to bomb both sides of those two rebel groups, they say.
They say. That's the operative term right there, George.
Yeah.
They say. Okay.
Yeah.
First of all, I'm sure they're bombing rebel targets.
Yeah, to help Assad for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Remember, the Russians are nobody's inexperienced fighters. When it comes to dealing with angry Muslims.
Right.
Okay. There's a little country called Afghanistan.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they've had a Chechen population of Muslims. That they've been.
Well, there's some
Chechens
working there with fighting on ISIS. With ISIS, they say. There's some Chechens in there.
Sure. And boy, if you think ISIS is tough, just get a load of what the Chechens know about dealing with the Russians.
Okay.
So the Russians are really smart. They're nobody's fool. And they're angry at us.
Right,
okay?
They're
angry at America. They're not going to go toe-to-toe with a real brutal enemy that's capable of meting out some real damage to them. To try to get on our good side. Forget it. Ain't going to happen. No way. No. They're going to bomb the rebel sites. And if they can get our media to buy off on it, they're going to say, oh, yeah, we're bombing a few ISIS sites, too. They have some really fine state-of-the-art fighters there, okay? Mid-level fighters, was it, the Fulcrums and Frogfoots? If I remember correctly, that's what they used, that's what we came across mostly in Iraq, okay?
Okay.
I found a few MiG-29s myself, fully armed MiG-29s.
Okay.
But the thing is that, most of those MiG-29s, when the former Soviet Union fell apart, the high technology required to support MiG-29s, a state-of-the-art fighter like that was lost, okay? The maintenance lines were lost. But the Frogfoots and Fulcrums, okay, yes, those are there, and they are excellent fighters. But the thing is that the Russians are nobody's fool. They're not going to get chewed to pieces and trying to, incur our good favor, okay? No, they know what they're doing, and they're probably going to go after almost entirely. Oh, and that's another thing, too, is a lot of that chemical warfare, okay, that you've seen the Syrians use, the Syrian government use.
Yeah.
Guess who produced that? Guess who produced that chemical? Okay, the sarin gas.
Yeah.
Okay. That's not American-made sarin. That's
right.
Soviet-made sarin, okay?
I think
I told your listeners when I went in on that in that air base in Balad.
Yeah.
And we found pile after pile of Russian rubber Russian chemical suits. Okay. And they're stacked high. They were 5-6 feet high, hundreds of these chemical suits, and they were all soaked in sarin oil. Okay.
Yeah.
Soaked in sarin oil. All right. So that they do have, you know, if the Iraqis had sarin, the folks in Syria have it, because that's where a lot of these shipments, as before we were arriving, just like the week before we were arriving in Iraq, they were shipping those chemical stockpiles. They were moving them north along with VX gas. So they were moving sarin and VX gas. They were moving them north into Syria. All right. I can think of at least five depots where those sites are presently active and where they have those chemical weapons. So, and those are all Russian production chemical warfare agents.
Right.
So, So it turns out that the whole situation is that nothing's going to change. You know, the Russian rebels, they're going to get really blasted. And ISIS is going to be just as strong, if not stronger, than before, and nothing is going to change.
I got you. Well, I want to appreciate you being with us this evening and giving us that report, an update. And I'm going to follow through on that South Carolina plant. We'll see what we can come up with. We'll be back in touch with you, okay?
Okay, please do. Okay.
Okay, great.
You know, I don't want to see another negligent situation like Fukushima.
I know. Right? It's killed a lot of the North Pacific sea life, that's for sure. We know that.
Boy, yeah. Like I say, I just step off my front porch and I can see.
I got
you. Know, where the rocks are covered by starfish, sea urchins.
Right.
2 years ago, there are none. There's zero. There's none.
I got you.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank
Greg
you.
Ford, thank All you very right. much. Okay. Good night.
My pleasure to your listeners, George.
Okay. My pleasure for
Thanks
having you on. Thank you, sir. Good night.
Okay. You too. Goodbye now.
Bye-bye.